This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If small business is the engine that powers the local economy, entrepreneurship is the fuel that makes that engine go. We take a look at the local innovation scene through the lens of an organization that wants to bring innovators together, and through the eyes of a Chicago entrepreneur who left her job to start a business that sells trash-eating mushrooms. I'm WBBM Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart. We'll learn about that and more this week on At Issue.
Luke Tannen, President and CEO of Chicago Innovation, and Joanne Rodriguez, Founder and CEO of MycoCycle. Thank you for joining us today on At Issue. And Luke, you and I have had many conversations on the Noon Business Hour, and let's talk about the history of Chicago Innovation. I've been on the Business Hour on WBBM since 2016, and even then, Chicago Innovation had a long relationship, not only with the program, but with the radio station as well. So, Luke, who had the idea to create this hub for local innovators and entrepreneurs? Who was the innovator in this case?
There were two innovators. The co-founders are Tom Kuzmarski and Dan Miller. They co-founded Chicago Innovation back in 2002. Back then, the whole point of what inspired them was they were tired of Silicon Valley getting all the glory when it came to innovation. Or maybe New York got some glory, or Seattle or Boston, but Chicago was not getting the glory it deserved. So they started this thing called the Chicago Innovation Awards, and it was a one-night award ceremony to celebrate Chicago as a hub of innovation, but innovation in all of its forms, from big companies to startups, for-profits, nonprofits, high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech across all industries. And 75 people came to this first annual Chicago Innovation Awards. And today we now have 10,000 people who participate in all of our events and programs throughout the year.
And when you talk about how this was an effort to create a Chicago Silicon Valley, like looking back to 2002 and the smaller number of people who were involved in the Chicago Innovation Awards, it seems like on a macro level, it succeeded, because now you have Google buying and renovating the Thompson Center. You have a number of tech companies that are setting up shop in Chicago. You had 1871 in the Merchandise Mart. You have a number of tech companies that have transformed the West Loop. So that bet on creating a local Silicon Valley 23 years ago was successful.
Those are all wonderful examples. Now, I'll give you another statistic to help make that same exact point. So we've now had 420 Chicago Innovation Award winners. Each one of them is another data point and success story. But you look at them as an aggregate, and of those 420, 98% are still in business. 72 have been acquired for exit values of $157 billion. That's billion with a B, Rob. And I think that that really helps paint the story that it is worth investing in innovators. It is worth investing in the people and the organizations that are taking risks and trying new things, because those are the ones that create the most economic value. And taken as a whole, it really also helps to bolster the narrative that the Chicago region really is vibrant, it's thriving. And that narrative is so important because it attracts new capital, it attracts new talent. It encourages CEOs of companies and other cities to take a look at Chicago. Maybe they want to move their headquarters here. And it also inspires, you know, a real civic pride. And I think that's at the backbone of Chicago's innovation and entrepreneurial community, too.
Now, when we talk about innovation, we think of inventions. You know, when you say innovation, maybe the first image that comes to mind is Thomas Edison, you know, one day saying to himself, I want to invent the incandescent light bulb or some other form of technology, the iPhone, something along those lines. But if you peruse the list of past Chicago Innovation Award winners, in many cases, the innovation is technological. Maybe it's a healthcare company coming up with a new type of wound care substance. But in other cases, the innovation is just a new procedure or changing a process to make it more efficient. So if you're listening to this program thinking, I'd love to invent something, you don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel.
Now, innovation is for everyone is our vision statement, and we truly believe that anyone can be an innovator. You do not need to be a technology expert. Innovation at its core is about problem solving, and all of us can be problem solvers. All of us are problem solvers ever since a young age, and it's really about identifying an unmet need and then creating a new type of offering that could be a product, a service, could be a new business model, a solution, a process. And ultimately, as long as it's unique and differentiated in the market and valued by the end user or the customer or the consumer, well, then you'll have a successful innovation on your hand.
And then looking at the list of past award winners for innovation awards, it is a who's who of local institutions. So how can the average person break into the innovation space? If you're listening right now and you're thinking to yourself, geez, I have these ideas, I just don't know how to put them onto paper or get them off the ground. How does Chicago Innovation help you?
Yeah, that's an easy one, Rob. You just sign up on the Chicago Innovation mailing list and you'll learn about all the great events and programs and things you can get connected to. I mean, there's other great organizations too, of course, but obviously I'm biased and I think Chicago Innovation is a great one to join. And every single month we have events that cater to people who are interested in innovation, and they're all different topics, everything from AI to innovation in food, to innovation in the climate space, to innovation at big companies and startups and for-profits and nonprofits. And so that's one thing I'd recommend is just, you know, come to events, you'll meet people, you'll build relationships, you'll network, you'll learn things that could inspire you to innovate. But we also have multiple mentoring programs, the Women's Mentoring Co-op to support women innovators, the Ladder to support Black and Latina innovators, Ageless Innovators, which is an intergenerational co-mentoring program. So as long as you have an age, you can participate. So that means anyone can get involved and you'd be paired with an innovator of a different generation. But then we're also really focused on the next generation of young innovators. And so we run something called the Illinois Student Invention Convention. This is to teach innovation to K through 8th grade students. And then the other thing I want to mention is a newer program called Chicago Innovation Fellows. And this is if you really want to turbocharge your innovation know-how. Chicago Innovation does this in partnership with Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management. And the program is 6 months long. It's one full day a month where you're at Kellogg learning from Kellogg's top innovation faculty in the morning, learning from some great Chicago Innovation Award winners in the afternoon. Next cohort starts on October 22nd. So there's so many different things that we do that enable you to really learn the tools of innovation and build relationships that can help you on your journeys.
It's interesting you talk about the intergenerational component of innovation, that you can be an innovator in grade school or learn the principles of innovation in grade school. You can also do it later in life. You can do it when you're graduating from college. But it seems to me that innovation is a midlife activity, because you have been in your career for long enough to know how to make it better, or you've been doing something long enough to have some ideas on how to make it better, but you don't know how to do it, or you need the community to kind of psych you up. So how often do you hear this story among people who show up to Chicago Innovation Events saying, like, I'm at a crossroads in my career. You call it a midlife crisis, if you will. I have this idea. I want to make it work.
Well, on one hand, people think innovators or new entrepreneurs are young people in their 20s, but actually the average age of an entrepreneur is actually more so in your 40s or even in your 50s. With that being said, you can innovate at any stage and any age. And in fact, we have seen some incredible innovations come from kids. I'll give you one example. In this Illinois Student Invention Convention program, where we've now had 35,000 students participate, one of our recent winners was an eighth grade student named Arnav Chapalkar, and his invention was called Blind Space. And what it is imagine around your neck having a lanyard with a little camera. And by the way, this is for people who are visually impaired. And this camera is attached to Bluetooth speakers in your ears. And it can use AI and image recognition technology to tell the person who's visually impaired what is actually around them. And it sure is much more advanced than just someone holding a stick and trying to identify, what's in their vicinity. And this was an eighth grade student who understood that AI can empower all sorts of new solutions. So my point is, yes, when you're older, you have perhaps more wisdom and experience. But the tools and the technologies that people of any age have at their disposal really means that today anybody can be an innovator.
We are talking about the Chicago innovation scene and local entrepreneurship with Luke Tannen, president and CEO of Chicago Innovation, and Joanne Rodriguez, founder and CEO of Mycocycle in Chicago. I'm WBBM News Radio Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart, and you're listening to At Issue on WBBM. Now, Joanne, tell us about your journey into innovation. When did you decide you wanted to be an innovator?
I guess mine is more in line with the midlife crisis, Rob. I worked in a career for roughly 30 years, construction products and material manufacturing. I've been in different leadership roles. I identified a problem that couldn't be solved, and I was really tired of just attending meeting after meeting after meeting, discussing the problem without the solution. And so in 2017, I left corporate America with wild abandon, not really knowing what I was going to do. And it set me on a thirst for knowledge and really kind of triggered this inquisitiveness. And ultimately, I started a company in 2018 called Mycocycle that I launched in 2020. And
Time to start a business.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. March of 2020, in fact.
And so, excellent time to start a business.
Yeah, the world was shutting down and we were ramping up. And essentially what Mycocycle was doing was solving this issue within the built environment of construction material supply chain. So 15% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions come from materials within the sector from the moment you extract virgin resources to create them to the time that they're disposed of. There aren't a lot of options, and there are a lot of different plastics and other chemicals that go into them. I left the industry knowing about the problem and was not aware of the solution. And when I went out and asked questions and took a deeper dive in learning, I learned about the power of fungi and their innate ability to not only reduce the chemicals that were within our industry, but to potentially produce new ingredients. And I decided to give it a try and throw a handful of spores on some asphalt roof shingles, and they grew. And so I filed a patent and formed a company at the end of 2018, but I did not know how to actually start a company. I'd been surrounded by corporate infrastructure all these years. And so that's where organizations like Chicago Innovation really came into play for me to give me the encouragement and the landing space to think about what it meant to start a company.
I think that's the one thing about having these innovation resources available to you is that when you go from an established business and then you try to start things up on your own, you really take for granted all of the infrastructure that was there for you as a W-2 employee versus starting something on your own. Because I remember doing a startup all-news radio station 14, 15 years ago, and we were starting from zero. So I feel like it's the same thing in any other startup environment where you have the idea, but just getting the infrastructure together to support this business, that's the real challenge.
I think any innovator will tell you it really comes down to who's going to buy it. Like it could be a good idea, but if nobody buys it, if nobody else sees the value in it, then you're just spinning your wheels. So for somebody like me to kind of think and explore what the market opportunities were, how to even understand like the baseline of what market opportunities are, business model canvas and entrepreneurship 101, when I'm not coming out of an academic setting, I'm not coming out of Silicon Valley where this is a commonplace discussion, finding a community that knows those resources. And I remember running into Tom Kosmerskis in 2019 after kind of realizing Chicago innovation and trying.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to understand how do you percolate and bring an idea to fruition. And I met Tom at the Chicago Innovation Award nominee gathering, and he turned around and he said, "Who are you?" And I introduced myself and I said, "We train mushroom seed trash and create new materials." And then it was like a love affair right there. There was a kinship. And ever since then, all I ever have to do is ask and say, has somebody run into this before? And across the membership, there is such a diversity that it really has enhanced and collapsed the cycle of our success. So even building and launching during a pandemic, we're still going strong. We've raised over $10 million in dilutive and non-dilutive capital. We're expanding our footprint across two states and over 20,000 square feet. And we have annual recurring revenue and 15 new jobs that we created here in Illinois. It's very exciting times to know that without having some shoulders to lean on and some friendly faces and hands to hold, it might have been otherwise near impossible for us to be where we are today.
I want to ask you about the journey that you took from when you had that initial test, putting the mushroom on the shingle. And forgive me for just calling it a mushroom, fungi, on the shingle, and then just seeing if this process actually worked, if it could be naturally broken down into other components that would not have nearly as harmful an environmental footprint. So this is in 2018, and then you open you actually hang up the shingle without the mushroom in March of 2020. That's 2 years or 18 months. So how did you refine the process into something that could be marketable?
Very good question. I mean, I sought out entrepreneurship centers, like places that could support me to understand what tools were available for me. Science doesn't lie. So that's something I could hire and I could, contract out. I'm a citizen scientist, not a scientist by training or education. And I'm very familiar with material manufacturing. So I knew the needs of the marketplace. But to really go that next step over those 18 months, it was about understanding, you know, what is the fitness of a startup company that would make it, you know, go from bootstrap to raising a pre-seed or seed round? Like, what are other resources available and what do you need to have, like, to have your business house in order at every step? That's what I did over those, you know, 12 to 18 months, in addition to building our first physical footprint in Illinois. I can distinctly remember saying, okay, I have enough money to pay for 1 year of rent here. And I need to set down roots and really either commit to this or vacate. And that's what happened. And that's what has us here now.
And this question is for both Joanne and for Luke. And this is just, you know, what Chicago innovation can do for you, because you had this idea, you want to get it off the ground. What is the most important thing to get you from point A to B to C? Is it just having people around you who can give you the confidence to take that step, to actually take that leap of faith? Is it someone who can help you refine your idea? Or is it just knowing that you have a reliable source of funding that could be available to you?
I think the answer is yes, yes, and yes. I would say, you know, early on, the most important thing to do is just really understand your customers' needs and pain points, because yes, you know, you need capital to grow your business, but the best kind of capital comes from customers, because that's the most sustainable kind of capital. And so really just understanding what are their needs and pain points and desires, I think, is a key step. Number two, I would say, you know, surrounding yourself with people who have been successful entrepreneurs is just such a sort of unfair advantage. If you have the best board or the best advisors or the best funders who really want to help you and support you. And that's why we really lean into mentoring being something that Chicago Innovation, our organization, offers in a tremendous way. And then just building your social network of people who can support you along your journey. And the thing about Chicago that we've seen over our last 25 years, and next year is actually Chicago Innovation's 25th anniversary, which is pretty cool. But people in Chicago, they are rooting for each other. And, you know, Joanne has lived this and seen this, and I've seen people support Joanne, and I've seen Joanne support others. And it's just this kind of mindset. It's this desire to give back that really keeps our ecosystem flowing.
I concur with the yes, yes, yes. I think the network is most important. Like, if I didn't have a Christy Ross of Tasty Trade to emulate as a female founder, I really look up to her and, okay, what did she do? And be able to tap into that and have conversation. And even in our next step of growth and looking for like a fractional CFO and reaching out to CEOs who have exited or who had these robust organizations to know who they could recommend for us. And I would say also, like, for building my board, you know, my first board, our independent board director, is a CEO of a growing company here in Chicago, Gary Cooper Jr. of Reapley. They're in the circular economy. They understood resources. They're a few steps ahead of us. So I just think constantly that the network is important. I would say for the funding is important, but Luke's 100% correct. If you don't build a sustainable business that can stand on its merits, there's some things like what we're in, which is hard tech and climate tech, that you do need to go out and raise venture capital. But I have to say, not a lot of the venture capital is coming from the Midwest. It's not coming from Chicago. Our biggest investors are at East Coast, West Coast. And I think that presents different opportunities for companies that are coming up behind us to be able to get them linked to these investment firms to understand what it takes to be ready for them and maybe bring new opportunities to the table for Chicago and Midwest innovators.
On the funding component, when we talk about the resources that Chicago Innovation can bring to bear for innovators, when funding comes in, do you have to go... Do you need that funding to get the business off the ground? As you talked about, we need to rent the space. We need to just get all the infrastructure going. Or does the Chicago Innovation Funding Network, does that come into play when it's time to scale up?
I'd love to hear Joanne's take on this one as someone who's raised money before and then has been in the seat of what do I use this funding for? But, you know, absolutely the Chicago Innovation Community and Network, you know, provides access to funders, to VCs, to angel investors, to corporate venture funds and all things of the sort. And one thing we in particular are trying to do is provide that access to those who historically have not had access to those types of funding streams, marginalized populations and underserved entrepreneurs. And that's why some of our mentoring programs are focused on, you know, great women entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs of color, why we do a lot of programming out in the neighborhoods. But in terms of how to best use the funding, I'd be curious what Joanne used all the funding she raised.
For more mushrooms. One thing I will say about Chicago Innovation is I don't think of Chicago Innovation as a source of funding resources. And I think that's by design. Like I like being able to go into a room, into an event, and it's not constantly pitching. And you're talking to people as peers, and they may be somebody who's on a corporate venture capital. They may be part of an angel investment group. I had these conversations where I didn't know who I was talking to. And then the next thing I know, they're like, you should talk to Josephine Collective. I'm one of their, you know, investors there. And they fund female founders in Chicago. And so I like that there isn't that heavy pressure to always be on to talk about the metrics of what you use your capital for. With that said, I think as, you know, if you're an astute entrepreneur and you're early on, it really is just getting seeded and perhaps even just funding, you know, those first proof of concepts. Like, how do you have something? Do you have an MVP here that somebody would be interested in? Until you have that, you know, depending on what you're building, that can come with some need, with some investment. That's what our pre-seed was, to develop this proof of concept of would it work. And that required paying people to do things that we couldn't do in-house. And so I think from the earliest starts, there are very distinct levels within pre-seed, seed, series A on up, of things you should be benchmarking and accomplishing. And that still holds pretty true today, whether you're in Chicago or in Oklahoma, Florida, or Calgary, Canada.
Now, Luke, how has the success of the TV show Shark Tank made the idea of innovation and all the things you need to do to get an idea off the ground, how has that made it more accessible to people that maybe 25 years ago, it still seemed a little higher level, but after watching a show that makes it a lot more accessible to the general public, they'll come up to you and say, like, look, I got it now. I think I'm a little less intimidated because it's the basis of a hit television program. And the whole process is a lot, some of the mystery has been taken out of it.
Yeah, I think the show Shark Tank has definitely made entrepreneurship cool. I have 2 9-year-old boys and they know all about the show Shark Tank, as do their friends, as do people of all ages. And so I think that's a great thing. And, you know, it also reminds, there's other things that have made entrepreneurship cool, too. I got my MBA at Kellogg, Northwestern. And when I started, most of the other students I was with were going to Kellogg because they wanted to get a job in, you know, brand management or marketing or consulting. And by the end of my 5 years at Kellogg, everyone wanted to join a startup. And so I think startup culture is very cool. It's very exciting. It's a place where you can test new ideas. It's a place where you can make things happen. And I think actually big companies have been watching startups. And a lot of bigger companies nowadays are not only partnering with startups, partnering with the entrepreneurs on Shark Tank or acquiring them. And so I think all in all, it's been great to see cultures kind of shift into ones that really do embrace the entrepreneur.
Now, Luke, I was going to ask you, you could probably cite chapter and verse numbers about the economic impact of innovation and Chicago innovation on local employment, on the local economy, and just all the second order effects after that. But I think the bigger impact that Chicago innovation has is sitting right next to you. I think Joanne's story about just taking that leap of faith, walking away from corporate America, executing that idea, and allowing that idea to come to fruition, thanks to the infrastructure that Chicago Innovation provides, probably tells the story better than any recitation of numbers.
Well, and I'm glad you said that word story, because it really is about storytelling. Stories are what inspire us. And Joanne inspires me. She inspires lots of people. And I think a role that Chicago Innovation has had for the last 24 years is to elevate all the great stories in the Chicago region, whether you mentioned Christy Ross and what she's done with Tasty Trade and now U3 Coffee, or another great entrepreneur, Luke Saunders, who started Farmer's Fridge. I mean, it's endless how many great stories there are, but most people don't know them. And so we're trying to tell these stories. Last month, we just rang the NASDAQ bell in New York City because we think people all over the country need to know the stories coming out of Chicago. And once you know the stories and understand the impact, you really see that there's something going on here. And I also think that Chicago Innovation, now more than ever, is providing a source of hope, encouragement, and community to people who maybe feel discouraged or feel lost or are not sure where to turn next. And that's not a quantitative thing. That's sort of a feeling. It's sort of a, you know, more people focus. But at the end of the day, innovation is all about people coming together and solving problems.
And Joanne, I'll give you the last word.
Oh my goodness. Well, I feel like we put the fun in fungi, and I get to have this lightness because there are organizations that are supportive. I do feel like it's safe and there's really no crazy ideas. I mean, take it from me with trash eating mushrooms, right? So, but I do feel it is my mission and my purpose as I continue on in my growth journey as an entrepreneur to say, how do I help influence that next generation, or how do I encourage somebody to do the same thing I did? It's really hard, but it doesn't have to be. Like, there are resources there, and I would just, you know, it could be very lonely. You'll hear innovators talk about how lonely it can be. And I think making sure that you get within the right networks and you can reach out and have the right kind of mentors and you have the right kind of inspiration, it flips that switch and allows you to continue to be creative and develop solution sets for the long term.
Luke Tannen, president and CEO of Chicago Innovation, and Joanne Rodriguez, founder and CEO of MycoCycle. Thanks for joining us on At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can find it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and now the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench, and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.